Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. Check us out on Instagram at Locked On Bulls and Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. You can hit us up on our text to voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls thoughts and questions and comments, and we will get to more mailbag content on tomorrow's episode. We do mailbag every Wednesday here at Locked On Bulls. Just another reminder that if you haven't already, go check out that great feed of all of the Locked On Network's NBA hosts across the league, all 30 teams, at on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. It is a one-stop shop to get all of the Locked On NBA hosts in one Twitter feed. And of course, check out the national shows, Locked On NBA, your daily bite-sized look at all of yesterday and today's NBA news. Rejecting the Screen, a great wide-ranging NBA talk show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, including some long-form interviews. And of course, the newest piece of our national NBA content here at the Locked On Network, the Hollinger and Duncan Show, once a week. The amazing insights of John Hollinger and Nate Duncan. Their first episode is out. If you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out right now. And of course, our entire family of Locked On shows here in Chicago. For all of our diehard Chicago sports fans, check out Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Check out Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears, and our newest edition, Locked On Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski. All right, few things to get to on today's show. Bulls make an addition to their roster using the other two-way contract at their disposal. I'll give you my thoughts and predictions on what exactly we were going to see this season from our beloved Bulls, including filling y'all in on a little bet that me and my dear friend C. Red Fred just came to agreement on bet terms for earlier today, involving the Bulls win-loss record. But before we get to those topics, the first thing I wanted to touch on right off the bat is this trending Michael Jordan Steph Curry thing. Michael Jordan, in his one of maybe two interviews he does every year, of course, MJ stays off of social media, doesn't have a Twitter account, rarely reacts with all of the, you know, hashtag NBA Twitter, the hot takes, the debates. He stays away from that for the most part. But so he did an interview, a sit-down interview with the Today Show. And in part of this interview, he is asked about the four guys he would choose in a pickup game. Four guys to be his teammates in a five-on-five pickup game. And the interviewer reminds him that 6 years ago, when asked a similar question, MJ's answer was these four guys: Magic, James Worthy, Scotty, and Hakeem Olajuwon. And when asked, is that still your same answer? MJ said, yeah, absolutely. In a heartbeat is what he said. In a heartbeat, he would choose those same four guys. And he talked about how he played against and with all of those guys and knew what level of competitors they were and what they brought to the court every night. And then so when he is asked, so Steph Curry shouldn't be offended by the fact that this is still your list, these are still your same four guys, MJ said, no, I hope not. I hope he's not offended. He said he's still a great player, but he's not a Hall of Famer yet. He's not. And everybody blows up at MJ on Twitter. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's saying that Steph isn't a Hall of Famer. I can't believe he's saying that Steph Curry isn't a Hall of Famer. I mean, we all know how we love to overreact on all of this stuff. And if that were what Michael Jordan was saying, people saying it goes right in line with the pettiness and the I'm better than you stuff that we got from Michael Jordan at his Hall of Fame induction speech. I'm the best. I beat you. Nobody can touch me. Peace out. And look, there are people on Twitter arguing, okay, well, even if Steph just retired today, that's enough to get him into the Hall of Fame, right? If you look at his resume, he's a 3-time NBA champ. He's got 2 regular season MVPs, 6-time All-Star. He's going to go down as the best shooter ever. I mean, he's, you know, even if he retired today, still finishes 3rd all-time with the most 3-pointers made. 50-40-90 season under his belt. Oh, and by the way, like 6 All-NBA teams, 3 All-NBA first teams. Just to add that to the resume, too. One thing he doesn't have is a Finals MVP. First 1-15 went to Iggy, mostly for his work guarding LeBron James. And then the second 2 went to KD. But even still, without the Finals MVP, that resume that Steph Curry has right now, if he retired today, most people would say, that's enough to put Steph in the Hall. And I would agree with that. The people just flipping out on MJ using that argument of, even if he retired today, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, take a chill pill. The way, and look, we can debate about what it was that MJ was saying, what you think he meant and what he was implying. To me, he was simply saying, and it spurred from the question of, who are you picking as your 4 teammates in a pickup game 5-on-5? And his answers of Magic, Worthy, Scottie, Hakeem, and him saying he knows those guys, played with them, against them, he is referencing the fact that all 4 of those guys are Hall of Famers that he competed with and competed against. And as an afterthought, maybe a bit of a joke, MJ says about Steph, he's a great player, not a Hall of Famer yet. And that's it. That's as simple as I think he was being. Matter of factly, Steph Curry is not yet a Hall of Fame basketball player. Those 4 guys that I'm picking to be my teammates in a 5-on-5 pickup game, they're all Hall of Famers. Steph Curry is not. So I'm definitely taking the side of those defending MJ and saying, yo, let's all chill out on this. I can't believe he doesn't think Steph is a Hall of Famer. So defensive. Anyone in their right mind thinks that even if he retired today, Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer. When that day comes, when he is eligible to be inducted, which is not this day. Not yet. That's all it was. Just a simple reminder from MJ. I'm taking those 4 guys who, by the way, they're Hall of Famers. Steph Curry, great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet. And that's it. Before we move on to the Bulls' latest roster update, just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase order of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Okay, so about midday on Tuesday, we got an update that the Bulls have landed their 2nd player to be on their two allotted two-way contracts this season. They already had Adam Akoka on board. The latest is Max Strus, who's originally from Hickory Hills, Illinois, played his first two collegiate seasons at Lewis University and then transferred to DePaul here in Chicago. And he had two pretty darn good seasons with DePaul. His junior year averaged 16.8 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.3 steals on 40.8% shooting overall from the field and 33.3% shooting from downtown. And his senior year, he jumped those numbers up, 20.1 points per game in 35 starts, 35 games played, 37.4 minutes per game, shot 42.9% from the field, shot 36.3% from downtown, so raised his three-point shooting a considerable margin, and that was, by the way, on 8.9 three-point attempts per game, shot 84.2% from the charity stripe at 4.3 free-throw attempts per game, 5.9 rebounds, 2.2 assists. Oh, and by the way, averaged between his junior and senior years at DePaul about 1.1, 1.2 steals per game. Pretty impressive stuff on his DePaul resume. He was signed by the Boston Celtics after going undrafted earlier this offseason. He played for the Celtics in Summer League and also played for them through their preseason exhibition games. He was, for the most part, overlooked and sparsely used. Wasn't really in the Celtics' main rotation for their preseason games, but in their blowout win over the terrible Cavs, when most everybody had checked out, he did get 17 minutes of run in that game and looked pretty good doing it. 14 points on 4 of 7 from the field, all 4 of his makes coming from behind the arc, 4 of 5 from downtown, and adding a couple of free throws. He also chipped in 4 rebounds and 2 assists in that game. Nonetheless, the Celtics waived him yesterday or the day before, I believe. Bulls jumped on the opportunity to sign him as their second two-way player this season. And by the way, that senior year that he had at DePaul earned him all Big East second team honors. He also set DePaul season records with 113 made three-pointers and 311 three-point attempts. His 705 total points his senior year ranks third all-time on the Blue Demons season scoring list. And his career scoring average between his junior and senior years of 18.6 points per game ranks fourth all-time in DePaul's history. So where will he fit in this season? As a two-way player who is eligible to be up on the Bulls' main active roster for, at maximum, 45 days, only called upon if needed. That would be my educated guess. He's got talents. He's got good size for his position, primarily a shooting guard. At 6'6", you could probably have him playing the three at times if needed, and we all know how much of a concern that position and the depth of that position is for the Bulls as we begin this season. But when you think about some of the other people that are going to be given an opportunity to prove themselves ahead of Strus, like Hutchison when he gets healthy, like Denzel Valentine, if and when Boylan deems him to be in good enough shape to get out there and run some. And then also, honestly, Shaq Harrison, who we know is a Jim Boylan favorite, and who I was just talking about yesterday when Bulls fans were wondering if they might waive Shaq Harrison and his non-fully guaranteed contract to add somebody else, and most likely another wing player, a true wing player, for some depth of that position. What we're hearing now is that, no, Jim Boylan loves Shaq Harrison so much that he's sticking around. And I would bet that if called upon, and if the Bulls' roster and their health situation were that, in that dire position, that he is another person like Hutch and like Denzel who would get an opportunity at that spot ahead of Max Strus. As far as just adding him as the second of these two-way guys, I mean, I don't have any complaints about it. I did watch some of his stuff, catching the occasional DePaul game last season in particular, and there's a lot to like about his game. And he's not just a three-point shooter. He can do some nice things handling the ball. I think he moves pretty well off the ball. He's really solid with his baseline cuts, his backdoor cuts. He's a pretty heads-up player, pretty smart player from what I've seen. And he's a nice stash. He's a nice bench stash. That's about it, though. And that should, by all accounts, round out the Bulls' final roster. They did submit to the league their official final roster yesterday, which did include good old Shaq Harrison staying in there. And so now between that roster and Mokoka and now Max Strus being on their two allotted two-way contracts, that's it. Those are your 2019-20 Chicago Bulls to start the season. I'm guessing the roster will look somewhat different by season's end. Most likely among those changes being a Chris Dunn trade. But based on what the Bulls saw from Strus, not only probably watching him closely while he was playing his two seasons at DePaul, but also seeing what he was doing for the Celtics in Summer League and his nice preseason game, certainly seems like a predictable, viable option to bring a guy who has some local roots into the organization. And I'm guessing he'll get some pretty considerable playing time for the Windy City Bulls. So, if you're that much of a hoops nerd and can't get enough, tune into some of those televised Windy City Bulls games and learn a little bit more about the Bulls' latest addition, Max Strus. All right, final topic on today's show. The NBA season officially begins tonight. We've got the Raptors-Pelicans and then Clippers-Lakers doubleheader. Can't wait for that. Going to ingest all of it. Man, count down the hours. But being the first day of the NBA season, I thought I would just give y'all, our Locked On Bulls listeners, my official prediction for what's happening this season with our beloved Bulls. I think the Bulls are going to make a considerable jump this season. I think if all of the important, most important players on this roster, namely LaVine, Markkanen, Wendell, Otto, stay healthy, they can make a 15-win jump. That's nothing to laugh at. That's nothing to sneeze at. And it is still, if they achieve that, probably going to leave them on the outside looking in as far as making that push to being a playoff team in their third season of this rebuild. I was talking yesterday about the ESPN projections that came with their season preview that dropped on ESPN.com on Monday. And I pretty much agree with the top eight teams that they have in the East. Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, Nets, Raptors, Pacers, Heat, Magic. In that general order, with the Bucks and the Sixers at the top. I think those are your playoff teams. I think Orlando, because it's a small market team with no real super flashy all-stars, gets really easily looked over as a team that some might say, all right, they're going to get bounced. And that's a team that, you know, the Bulls could easily leap. I mean, they still have Vucevic. Made an all-star team last year. Think a pretty under-the-radar signing in Al-Farouq Aminu from Portland. For them, obviously, Markelle Fultz is the wild card. You know, they brought him over at the deadline, but then we didn't really see him at all. Then we saw him in the preseason. We saw some good, some bad. what's going to happen there. But, you know, they have Aaron Gordon. They have Jonathan Isaac. They have these nice complementary pieces. And they might not be the most exciting team to watch, but I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be the team that squeaks in. Maybe it's the Pistons who squeak into that eighth seed if Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond can stay healthy. The part of the ESPN projections that I might disagree with a little bit is the Bulls finishing 11th in the East. I don't think Orlando, Detroit, and Atlanta all finish ahead of the Bulls. I think the Bulls finish ahead of two of those three teams and finish 9th. That's where I see the Bulls ending up. I see the Bulls finishing 9th in the East with 37. I will give them 37 and 45. That's my final prediction for the Bulls record this season, which again, as I just said, is a 15-win jump. That would be marked improvement. I would feel okay about that, assuming it came along with Zach LaVine getting his first All-Star nod, Markkanen showing us that these, you know, abundance of threes and not a lot of anything else in the preseason games was just a small sample size of nothing to worry about, and he takes another step in his progression and looks something close to a 20-10 kind of player for large portions of the season. We see big developmental steps from Wendell, all these things. Satoransky and Thad Young and Cornette, the big offseason additions fitting into this roster really well. Kobe White continuing to impress us the way he impressed us in preseason. Getting Rookie of the Year votes. Maybe even getting Sixth Man of the Year votes. All of these things can happen. And they can still happen for a Bulls team that ultimately falls a little bit short of that big final goal that they're all working towards together, which is playoff contention. And ultimately, I think the Bulls are still going to lose a number of close games this season. And that's not a finger point at LaVine, who will probably be asked to be their closer a lot this year. And it's not even a finger point at Jim Boylan. It's just I still have my doubts about Jim Boylan. It's not a finger point, it's doubt. Last year, we largely gave Boylan a pass, or you didn't. Nobody was praising Boylan last year. You either gave him a pass or an incomplete because of the chaos that was happening and the garbage roster he was working with, for the most part. Or you already judged him and said, this guy can't coach. I was in the camp more so of, let's give him a pass because of the circumstances. That didn't mean I was a believer, and it doesn't mean that I'm a believer coming into this season. I want to believe in Jim Boylan, but right now I have no reason to. So the Bulls can still be an improved team, and they can still have improved individuals on this roster. But ultimately, I think they're going to lose some close games because of execution, because of Boylan not knowing how to outcoach his opponent on a nightly basis and take advantage of what there is to be taken advantage of. Ultimately, that's what I see happening. There will be some signs of improvement. And there will still be some signs of this team needs more help. I think we're going to see some of that improvement on the offensive end. Still very concerned about the defensive end. Boylan's group ranked 27th in the NBA in defense when he took over last season. How much can they improve on that end? I'm skeptical. I want to believe Zach LaVine and his talk about the defensive end and improving his effort and becoming a better defensive player. I want to believe that Wendell will be healthy, be a dominant rim protector. I want to believe that Markkanen is going to show us improvement on the defensive end this year. Want to believe. Don't know if I do quite yet. Thus, my modest, moderate prediction, which again is still a 15-win jump. So, along those lines, earlier today, Tuesday, I was giving my pal C-Red Fred some grief on Twitter, as I love to do, because he's commenting on a Darnell Mayberry piece, which is great if you haven't checked it out. Mayberry for The Athletic wrote a season outlook for the Bulls, and he gave sort of a best case, worst case, and then what he thinks is going to happen, trio of possible outcomes. And Fred, commenting under it, wrote, you know, 7th seed, 43 wins, blah, 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 blah. Championship contender in 21. Welcome to the birth of the big red Leviathan. And so, of course, you know, getting Fred's goat a little bit, I quote tweeted it and said championship contender in 21. I thought it was a done deal and then called him a coward because I'm an asshole. But he keeps saying that. 7th this and 7th that, we all know. And then the 7th title in 2021. Following the 7th seed this upcoming season. And then Fred is straddling the fence, as he is wont to do. Oh, no, I'm going to throw the word contender in there. So we go back and forth a little bit. And we find our way to an agreement on a bet that we're making this season. I bet a lot of you were following along with Fred finally paying off his losing bet to our friend over in Australia, Mark K., who does great work doing the Bulls HQ podcast, part of the Bulls podcast fam, because Fred lost their bet about how many wins the Bulls would have this past season. By a lot. So, Fred proposed the bet to me. He says he thinks the Bulls win 43. I say the Bulls win 38. And that was my sort of high-end optimistic extent of their win total. So Fred said 41 wins or more, I win. 40 wins or less, you win. And we started going back and forth on the potential terms. He wanted me to wear a Jabari jersey and a Wade jersey on some Outsiders episodes for Bulls playoff games that he's convinced are happening this season. And he proposed that he stops tweeting for 2 weeks. I countered with 2 years because I thought that was fair. 1 year for each of the years that we had to put up with the bullshit that was Dwayne Wade and Jabari Parker. So he said no to 2 years. I countered with 2 months. Fred countered with 1 month. And then I said, okay, if only 1 month, then I am only wearing one of those two jerseys. I'm not wearing two jerseys if you're only going to leave Twitter for 1 month. So those are the final terms of our bet for this season. If the Bulls win 41 or more games, Fred will pick a jersey of his choice that I must wear on a Bulls Outsiders episode. And Fred hopes that will be the first game, the first Bulls game of their playoff run this upcoming season. And he put a Jabari creepy eye, big eye, smile, nodding gif. So I'm guessing it's going to be a Jabari jersey. And then, of course, the other end of the terms of the bet, 41 or fewer wins, I win the bet. And Fred will leave Twitter for any month that I choose between April 2020, the conclusion of this upcoming season, through March of 2021. I think those are fair terms to the bet. I think we divided that that win-loss number pretty evenly. And I think the pay-up for each of us losing is fair. So, it has been virtually agreed to. I'm sure the next time Fred and I see each other, which may not be until him filling in on an Outsiders episode later in December, when John is going to be gone for a night, we can make the bet official that night on air, assuming that Fred doesn't want to back out of the bet by then, because I think it's like mid-December. We'll see. There's a chance that the Bulls will have a decent looking record in early to mid-December, especially given how soft the start of their schedule is. But oh boy, does it get harder. So, that's it. That's the bet. And that is my prediction for the Bulls this season. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we will take more of your mailbag comments and questions. What's your prediction for the Bulls season? As far as individual player predictions, do you think LaVine's on his way to an all-star team? Any other player predictions? And what about your win-loss prediction for this Bulls roster coming up for the 19-20-20 season? Would love to hear. Hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We will get to as much of that as we can on tomorrow's episode. Hopefully Jordan will be back. And in the meantime, enjoy that NBA doubleheader tonight. NBA season starts now. We finally made it. Hell yeah. I hope you all are just as excited as I am. I bet you are. Until next time, Bulls Nation, thanks so much for listening. This is Matt Peck. Follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. Follow us at Locked On Bulls. Check out the other Chicago Locked On shows. And check out that great Locked On NBA national content, including the feed of all Locked On NBA hosts at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter. Until tomorrow, peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com